أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله, yet again we have this beautiful opportunity to gather in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to his majestic kalam, to seek his guidance and to learn about the beautiful characteristics of those true servants that are really close and dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus far we have learned four distinct characteristics of the Ibadur Rahman. The first one is that these people, these servants of Allah, are humble and they are also dignified. So do you know how sometimes we say that this person is very down to earth? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that my servants, they don't have their necks up high and they're looking around. They are humble, they are down to earth. And sometimes when we meet certain people, we don't like the way that they speak. But other people, we look towards and we say, he's got a very pleasant speech, he's got a very pleasant demeanor. So these are the first two characteristics, that they are humble and they are dignified. They are down to earth and they are pleasant in their conversations with whomever they meet. Then yeah, last week, alhamdulillah, we discussed the second two characteristics, which is يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. That these servants, when they finish their interactions with the dunya and the people, then when they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in a state of prostration, and they are in a state of bowing and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learned last week that this prayer, the prayer of night, the قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ, is not an ordinary prayer. Everybody has to pray the normal five prayers. But this Qiyamul Layl is an extraordinary prayer. It is the prayer of the elite, the khas. Not just the prayer of the am, which is the general. This is the prayer of the khas people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll give you a simple example. All of us go to university. All of us do our GCSEs and A-levels. All of us have grades. When you apply to a university, they look at your grades. They say, TK, you've got GCSEs. TK, you've got your A-levels, what extra do you have? They want you to stand out from the rest of the thousands and thousands of applications. What is extra? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see, that yes, you are all my ibad, you are all my servants. Who is the one who is an extra for me? Where are these special people? When you fall in love with somebody, you don't just say, okay, I love you and that's it. You give them extra time and extra attention with every single thing, because you are in love with that individual. We see everybody else, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum, Allah Hafiz. But those people who are special, we give them that extra time and effort and sincerity. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, that my people, these Ibadur Rahman, are giving extra in the night. They're waking up, they're leaving their bed, they're leaving their wife, they're leaving their comfort, and they are showing this great love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we discussed last week that Qiyamul Layl is by RSVP. Every night the invitation comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But only a select few people respond to that invitation, and then they say, Ya Allah, here I am, I'm here, I've responded to your call and I'm standing here. It is a personal invite given to you by Rabbul Alameen. How many of us are ignoring that invite? So people who spend their nights in Qiyam, in worshipping, in standing, in prostrating and bowing down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will we recognize them? Their faces will be full of nur. Why? Because they have spent this special time, this khalwa, this seclusion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminates their faces, illuminates their hearts. And there's a beautiful hadith, hadith Qudsi, hadith of Allah Azza wa Jal, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that my servant draws, he drew near to me by doing all of his religious duties. So we all try to get closer to Allah by doing what? At least the minimum, 5 of our pillars. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, وَمَا يَتَقَرَّبُ. And then my other servant, he continues to get closer. One is that we've met somebody in Santika, you know me, I know you, that's it. One is a person who wants to get closer and closer and closer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this individual. And my servant, يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ. This servant draws continuously closer to me. How? بِالنَّوَافِلْ. By doing the nawaf, by doing the extra things, so much so that I begin to love him. So much so that I become his hearing from which he hears. Which means that everything that that person is hearing, is only hearing those things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I become his sight from which he sees, because all he looks towards is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I become his foot with which he strikes and he walks. I become all of these things, i.e. the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placed within that individual's eyes and his hands and his feet. Why? Because he's trying to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to ask ourselves, are we just those who know Allah? Or are we those who are actually close and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this was a very quick summary of the last two Ibad al-Rahman sessions that we did. So today, inshallah, we'll go to the third verse from the Ibad al-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. These people who stood up in the middle of the night, and also these people during the day, they only made this specific and particular type of dua. So in all of these 10 to 12 verses of Ibadur Rahman, there's only two duas that these people actually make. How many? Just two du'as that they make. And therefore we must recognize that if they've asked these two du'as, and Allah Ta'ala has recorded these two du'as, they must be of great significance and great importance that we must reflect upon. So after Allah has described His people and how they get close to Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares this du'a of His Ibadur Rahman. So this, what is that du'a? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. That, oh our Lord, this is the people standing in the middle of the night, bowing and prostrating. These are the people walking in humility and humbleness and dignity. These are the people always thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are saying, oh our Lord, avert, keep away from us. Keep what away? The punishment of Jahannam. رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. Indeed, its punishment is extremely severe. إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. And this word, particular word, gharama, means severe. It also means it's continuous. It also means for your neck to be shackled. It also means to be inseparable. You can't, you know, if you're in Jahannam, there's no way you're going to get away from the azab and the punishment. So your neck is shackled. You are inseparable from the punishment. It is a terrible form of punishment. You are being tormented. It is a permanent, enduring form of punishment that is there in the fire of Jahannam. This is what they are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not Allah, give us this and give us this and give us that. They know that the greatest favor and the bounty and the greatest thing that they can ask is freedom from the fire of hell. Because if they have freedom in the fire, they'll get all the bounties and everything that they could ever wish for. Why? Because they'll be in Jannah, in paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything, now just imagine, everything that we feel here whilst on this earth, whether it is a thorn which pricks us, whether it is when we're sliding down and we graze our knee or our leg or playing football or a game, whether, you know, we break our arm or something and we have a cast and so many other things. Imagine all forms of punishment or all forms of pain and suffering in the dunya. All of that is an iota, is a small, insignificant amount in comparison to the punishment that we, or that those people will receive when they are in Jahannam. And this is the people, they recognize that this is the reality, that the Jahannam and the Azab of the Jahannam is so, so severe. And look at the word that it is used in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Gharam comes from gharim, which one of the meanings of this, or the origins of this, is that a person you owe money to. So you are indebted to somebody. You've given, somebody's given money to you, so you owe them money. So what does that person always do? He's always chasing you. He's always behind you. He's always on top of you. He's always asking for his money back. He will not let you go. In this day and age, do the banks ever let you go? No. Does the HMRC ever let you go? No. Nobody lets you get away with anything. If you owe somebody something, they will be on your back. And this is Jahannam, that when you're in Jahannam, you cannot get away from its azab. It will always constantly be on your back. Its azab will be above you wherever you go. And its azab will not just be there for a short time. It will be there for a perpetual and long time. So these people, the only dua that they are asking at the beginning in these particular verses, that Allah protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Protect us from the punishment of Jahannam. For indeed, its punishment is extremely severe. It's unrelenting and we can never escape it. And it will come to us. And this is important to reflect upon. Why? Because the Jews in the Quran, they mention, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا. It doesn't matter. If we go to Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam will only touch us for a few days. أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودًا, a few limited amount of days. So it doesn't matter if we go to Jahannam, we'll disobey the Prophet, we'll disobey Allah, we'll do all of these things, we'll go to Jahannam, and after that, we Allah's people will get into Jannah. This is their mentality. And unfortunately nowadays, I've come across certain youngsters as well. Oh, you only have one life. Live as much as you want. Do whatever you want. We're still people who believe in Allah. Chalo, we'll go to Jahannam. We'll go there. We'll get punished. And then, eventually, this is their mentality, that eventually, we'll still end up in Jannah. But look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing it. That innaha sa'at مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا, that indeed it is an evil abode. It is an evil place for us to ever be in, to dwell in, to reside in, to sit in, for any destination, even for a moment. It is the worst place that you can ever imagine. So don't even think about hours or days. Don't anything ever, always say, Allah, protect us from the fire of hell. So these are the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who recognize the grave punishment of Jahannam. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, in this regard, he mentioned that the least, what? The least punished person, not the worst, not the moderate, but the least punished person in Jahannam will be made to wear sandals of fire. Made sandals of fire, so much so that the sandals on his feet will make his brain boil. This is the least severely punished person in Jahannam. Now imagine when you boil a kettle of water, it's 100 degrees and it boils. Can you touch that water? Can you drink that water? If you throw boiling water on somebody, what happens to their skin? They get boiled straight away. If you try to drink that boiling water, what will happen to you inside? You know, you can't tolerate 100 degrees, which is just boiling water. But these fire of sandals of fire will make your brain boil. So imagine your leg, your femur, and all the way to the top of your head, your brain will be boiling. So my dear brothers and sisters, we can't afford ever to be in Jahannam, even for a second, even for a fraction of a second. This is not something that we should ever imagine or ever say, Tika, we'll get punished for our sins and then we'll end up in Jannah eventually. No. Always seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fire of Jahannam, from the punishment of the Jahannam. So these people, the Ibadur Rahman, their main concern was their make sure that they got protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fire of Jahannam. But what are our concerns today? We think about today, we want to buy this, we want to do this, we want to do that. Our concerns are limited to the dunya. Concerns for today or a week or a month or a year. We have all of these worldly plans. But these Ibadur Rahman are not just planning for their dunya, they're actually planning for their eternity. They're planning for their hereafter, and they know this is not a place that they ever want to go anywhere near. This is not a place that they want to be inside, even for a fraction of a second. These are the people who are constantly preparing for their afterlife. Not their dunya, but preparing for their afterlife. Ibn Qayyim, he mentions that a believer is like a bird. We live between hope and fear. On one wing is our hope, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the most merciful and kind and compassionate. And the other wing is our fear that we will also be taken to account and we will be punished for our sins as well. And the body itself is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must balance our love for Allah azza wa jal and live between fear and hope and make sure that our love and our determination keeps us balanced. We can continue to soar and fly and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must recognize, and this is what these people, Ibadur Rahman, recognize in the Quran, that this world is nothing. The luxuries and the pleasures of the dunya is nothing. The real luxury and the pleasure is actually of the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave a beautiful analogy that the person who is here in the dunya is like a person traveling and he stopped beneath a tree. And he sat beneath that tree just for a moment to rest. He was traveling and he stopped beneath a tree and he rested. Then he got up and continued on his destination. That small duration that the person rested underneath the tree, that is the entirety of our lives. From your childhood, from your youth, from your adulthood, from your burapa, from your old age, from every single thing that you can think of, your children, your spouse, your businesses, your family, your friends, your education, every single thing is contained under that tree when you sat there just for a moment and then you carried on to your destination back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the people who realized that their real destination is the hereafter, and they realize they do not want to be in the fire of hell. They want to be away from the fire of hell and they want to be in the palaces of Jannah. Nuh alayhi salam was asked and he described what dunya is. Remember, Nuh alayhi salam lived for 950 years. This is no ordinary amount. 950 years he lived by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at how he describes the dunya. He mentioned it's like a house. You enter into the house from one door and you exit from another. So no matter how big your house is, how much courtier you have, how much palaces you have, how much mansions you have, no matter how big the palace is, even if it's Buckingham Palace or anything else, what is it like? You entered into one door and you exited out of the other. This is your life here in the dunya. 950 years, he recognized what the true value and worth was of the dunya. Dawood alayhi salam, he was asked about the dunya, and Dawood alayhi salam himself said, "Ya Allah, I cannot bear the heat of your sun. How will I ever bear the heat of your fire of hell?" These are the people, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave us this understanding and how we should realize who we are, where we are, and what our reality is, and how we should prepare for our return. So the main dua that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam did perpetually, continuously, never used to miss this particular dua, and he did this all the time. We all know this dua, which is Allahumma ajirni minan nar. This is the dua that he used to read. He used to recite profusely, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana, and then he used to end it with wa qina adhaban nar. Allah, give us everything good in the dunya, give us everything good in the hereafter. But look how he also added wa qina adhaban nar. Just because you get good in the hereafter, you may get it eventually, that doesn't mean you're protected from the fire of hell. You may eventually end up in Jannah, but no, he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, also protect me. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, "Oh Allah, protect me from the fire of hell." Who are we not to ask this dua? Who are we not to think about the fire of Jahannam, the punishment of the Jahannam, even if it's for a moment? These are the Ibadur Rahman who are constantly thinking of the hereafter, constantly thinking of their return, realizing this dunya is limited and they are going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at human history, there are various different ways of how we have tortured one another. Various different ways. Some people, we see the crucifixion. They get people and they nail them to the cross. We see in history as well, people were put into a room with full of rats and the rats used to eat away at that individual and he had no escape. People, their body was stretched. A rope was put on each arm and each leg and then they were stretched and stretched until their limbs were torn apart. People were impaled from the top all the way to the bottom. Their bodies were mutilated and cut apart. Molten iron was poured into their mouth. People were skinned alive. This is how some of the tortures took place here in human civilization. But do we ever think about the punishment that awaits us in the hereafter? And it is there for those people who have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobeyed His commands, disobeyed the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And these Ibadur Rahman were acutely aware of all of these things. And this is why in all of these the verses of Ibadur Rahman, this is the biggest dua, the most important dua that they ask Allah, protect us from the fire of hell. Keep us away from the fire of hell. Even for in a moment, Allah, never ever allow us to go into the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. But those who have truly believed, save yourselves, safeguard yourselves, keep yourself and your family away from the fire of hell. But how much are we saving ourselves? It doesn't matter if it's haram, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's interest, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're lying, backbiting, doesn't matter if we're hurting somebody, doesn't matter. We don't care for ourselves and we allow our children to also be destroyed as well. How would you feel if there was a fire in your home? What would you do? You'd get up, you'd save yourself and you'd save your children. You're afraid of the fire of the dunya. Why are you not afraid of the fire of Jahannam for yourself and also for your children? Allah is saying, save yourselves and your family from the fire that is there waiting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Kalla innaha laza nazza'atan lishawa. No, indeed, it is the flame of hell burning completely the insan, including his head, burning your head. Imagine how you would feel with your head completely burnt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَزُوكُ الْعَذَابِ. That every single time their skins are entirely roasted, we will replace their skins again so that they can taste the punishment. Imagine tasting this punishment again and again for thousands, perhaps millions of years. We cannot suffer this. We cannot tolerate this. You cannot tolerate the pains of the dunya. How will we ever tolerate the pains and the punishment of the hereafter? This is why the du'as of these people say, Oh Allah, protect us. Oh Allah, keep us away from the fire of hell. قُطِّعَتْ لَهُمْ ثِيَابٌ مِّن نَارٍ يُصَبُّ مِّن فَوْقِ رِؤُوسِهِمُ الْحَمِيمِ. That they will be cut out for them garments of fire and poured over their heads will be scalding water. These are the punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that this is what is awaiting for those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Ibadur Rahman, they didn't think of the pleasures of the dunya, they thought rather for the hereafter. And especially they always constantly kept in their mind, if you know you're going to be punished by your mother straight away, you're not going to do that. If you know that the police is every single where, everywhere you go, the police is there, you will not do anything wrong or illegal. Because we are aware that the punishment is imminent and we will be thrown into jail or anything else. Why do we always forget the punishment that is right there? At this very moment in time, the fire of hell is there burning and waiting for its inhabitants. Why do we not think and are fearful of that? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and look at this particular hadith, and it really made me, you know, really upset. And I'm sure it will as well. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam mentions that the fire that the children of Adam, we as human beings, we are all children of Adam, that the fire that the children of Adam ignite is only 1/70. How many? 1/70 of the fire of Jahannam. So the fire of Jahannam is 70 times more than the fire that we can kindle here on earth. I'll give you a simple example. We go to a campfire. You go into the woods or you have a barbecue, you do a campfire. The base of the campfire is 900 degrees Celsius. And the top of the fire, which is cooler, is 600 degrees. Can anybody touch a campfire from the top or from below? Now imagine multiplying 900 degrees by 70. That's 63,000 degrees. 63,000 degrees. Even if you do not calculate the bottom, if you calculate the top, it's still 42,000 degrees Celsius. The fire of hell. At least one of the levels of hell. And remember, there are 7-8 levels. And in each level, there's 100 sub-levels as well. The heat of the sun is 5,777 degrees Celsius. We can't even bear it, even though it's 100 and something million miles away. When it gets closer in the summer, how do we feel? You go to Dubai and it's 40 plus, 45 plus, and the hottest temperature recorded on Earth is 56.7 degrees. And we can't cope with that. Unless we have air conditioning, unless we have all of those things. Imagine if you get to 100 degrees. Imagine now yourself in the fire of Jahannam at 63,000 degrees. What will happen to your brain? What will happen to your internal body? What will happen to us if we were just placed in Jahannam? Forget the punishment. Forget the torture. Just placed in Jahannam, what will happen to us? We will implode internally and we will be exploding as well everywhere. This will be our state for those people who are just in Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was sat with his Sahaba ikram in Masjid al-Nabwi, and he said that if this masjid had 100,000 people sitting in it. Masjid al-Nabwi at that time was very small, very limited. Perhaps the size of this particular room, or the room behind as well combined. The Prophet ﷺ, look at this, he's saying, if this masjid had 100,000 people or more in it, and amongst them was just one man, how many? Just one man out of 100,000. Amongst the 100,000, there was just one man who was from the people of the fire of hell. And if he only breathed once, just once, his breath would completely burn down every single individual in this masjid. Nobody would survive just by his breath, because he's from the fire of hell. This is how hot and how scorching he will be. The Prophet ﷺ mentions that Jahannam was heated for 1,000 years until its fire turned red. And then it was heated for another 1,000 years until the fire became white. And then it was heated again for another 1,000 years until the flame and the fire turned black. At present, the Jahannam is pitch black and dark. And just basic science teaches us that red flame is 1,000 degrees. And the white flame is 1,500 degrees. And black flame is 2,000 degrees plus. And remember, this is, we still have to multiply it 70 times. This is Jahannam. This is the just being in Jahannam. And then the azab of Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if a rock was dropped in Jahannam, it would remain plummeting for 70 years before reaching the pitch of Jahannam. This is just one level. These are the people who are asking, Ya Allah, protect us from the fire of hell. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when his sajda would do this dua, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he was closest to Allah in his salah, would say, Allahumma ajinni min al-nar, Allahumma ajinni min al-nar, Allahumma ajinni min al-nar. Oh Allah, protect me from the fire of hell. Protect me from the azab of Jahannam. Protect me from the azab of Qabr. And this is the dua of Ibadur Rahman. رَبَّنَا صْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. So we should memorize this dua, because it's the dua of Ibadur Rahman. And Allah has not just put it there for no reason. It is there for a purpose to remind us that this Jahannam is true, it is real, and this is what will happen for those people who even go near Jahannam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our family, protect our children from the azab of Jahannam, from going anywhere close and near Jahannam. And we should do what these Ibadur Rahman did, remember our hereafter and afterlife, prepare for our afterlife, and in our qiyam and in our sajda, do this dua, رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. Or at least the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and enable us all to learn this dua and become from the Ibadur Rahman. InshaAllah, Al-Aziz will continue next week. Please do join us again. JazakumAllahu khairan.